good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hello, Trunk Raja. We're here at the Gathering the Nations here, and I'm going to hand it over right to Wendy right now because the band just started playing. I don't know, can you hear that, Wendy?
We sure can. So Robert is actually in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now at the largest powwow, really, I don't know about in the world, but in the United States. And the band just started playing, so he's going to mute for now and then come back later after the band stops playing. I bet you that he did not know that there was going to be a band playing. So there you go. This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, located at 700 Nicollet Mall in Minneapolis. We're located in the first floor of the Dayton's building, and we support Native American artists. We have Gina Peltier with us tonight, as usual, giving us the news that you don't hear anywhere else. So, hello, Gina. How are you?
Hey, bonjour, Wendy. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Good. Do you mind if I just take it away here?
Oh, please do.
Okay. Bonjour, everyone. Gina Peltier and Dijnakash, Makadawe, Makwa, and Dudum, Anishinaabe, and Dunjaba, Mikanakwaje, and Iniwa. Hey, guys. Gina Peltier here. I am a Black Bear Clan, and I am Anishinaabe from the Turtle Mountain Pemina Band of Chippewa. And today was a court hearing over, there was a court hearing over Zoom for one of our Line 3 water protectors in Marshall County, Minnesota. And during the court hearing, Marshall County Sheriff Jason Bowman did confirm that his department did accept money from Enbridge. I am deeply appalled that our law enforcement helped a foreign corporation destroy their water and land. None of that oil flowing through Line 3 is going to the United States. It's being sold to China so they can make plastic out of it. And anything that is made out of plastic can be made out of hemp. And the evidence proves that Enbridge caused so much damage with the installation of Line 3, with the multiple aquifer breaches and the multiple frack outs, disrupting a fragile ecosystem. And we also have to mention the oil leaks that will help happen in the future. Enbridge straight up destroyed the Mississippi River with their multiple frack outs. Over 18 million people rely on the Mississippi River that flows all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, among all the other plant and animal life that also thrives there. I mean, Enbridge should be the ones in court facing charges, not water protectors. And currently, there is a request to the Minnesota governor, Tim Walz, to appoint Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison as special prosecutor for cases involving water protectors. That is something that Governor Tim Walz does have the power to do. And there is a petition we are asking you to sign. And I will drop that in the chat, or you can visit weprotectthewater.org. Again, that is www.weprotectthewater.org. And thank you, Water Protectors, for all your hard work and sacrifices. And thank you, Mark John, and may the force be with you. Speaking of Line 3, there is an event happening to bring awareness and support of shutting down Enbridge's Line 5. In downtown Mackinac City, Michigan, May 13th to the 15th, this year's event will have Indigenous representatives from Russia, U.S., and Canada, among a lot of other activities. Indigenous women leaders are leading the fight, joined by 200 plus groups, and calling on the USACHQ to deny the permits for Line 5, conduct an EIS, and respect Indigenous rights to protect communities, water, and our climate. So please do not let what happened with Line 3 happen with Line 5. Check out Honor the Earth's Facebook page and other media to learn more about the event and to learn more on how you can help. And then in more pipeline news, on Thursday, April 28th, North Dakota Supreme Court ruled the Dakota Access Pipeline security documents are public records. The High Court's decision upheld a district court ruling that rejected an effort by Dakota Access parent company Energy Transfer to keep private 16,000 documents pertaining to a partnership formed with the security contractor Tiger Swan during the pipeline protests near Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in 2016 and 2017. The more than 60,000 pages that make up the Tiger Swan documents laid at the center of the two parallel lawsuits in North Dakota, which were merged by the district court judge. In the first case, Energy Transfer aimed to recover the records from the North Dakota Private Investigation and Security Board by suing the state board and Tiger Swan. In the second, First Look Institute, publisher of the nonprofit news outlet The Intercept, sued the board to access the case record or to access the records. In the unanimous 15-page decision, the Supreme Court affirmed the district's court finding that Energy Transfer did not present any legitimate exceptions that would keep the trove of documents from being a public record. Government records are presumed to be open in North Dakota unless otherwise stated in law. The contents of the documents are not clear. A judge ordered Tiger Swan to turn over the documents to the state board in 2020 amid a two-year lawsuit over whether the North Carolina-based security company was legally operating in North Dakota during the protests. The case ended with Tiger Swan paying $175,000 settlement to North Dakota and agreeing not to operate in the state. The Supreme Court also ruled in a separate but related lawsuit Thursday that the state private investigation board must comb through each document to make determinations on whether certain information could or should be exempt under the state law. For example, the state must withhold documents containing proprietary trade secrets and may withhold documents prepared by an attorney in anticipation of litigation, you know, and to show that we do need to stop the use of fossil fuels. In a study published in the journal Science last Thursday, warming waters are cooking creatures in their own habitats. Many species are slowly suffocating as oxygen leaches out of the seas. Even populations that have managed to withstand the ravages of the overfishing, pollution, and habitat loss are struggling to survive amid accelerating climate change. If humanity's greenhouse gas emissions continue to increase, roughly a third of all animals will vanish within 300 years. The findings revealed a potential mass extinction looming beneath the waves. If the world takes swift action to curb fossil fuel use and restore degraded ecosystems, the researchers say it could cut potentially extinctions by 70%. The world has already warmed more than 1 degree Celsius, that's 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit, since the pre-industrial era. And last year, the oceans contained more heat energy than at any point since record keeping began 6 decades ago. These rising ocean temperatures are shifting and the boundaries of marine creatures' comfort zones. Many are fleeing northward in search of cooler waters, causing extirpation or local disappearance of once common species. Polar creatures that can survive only in the most frigid conditions may soon find themselves with nowhere to go. Species that can't easily move in search of new habitats, such as fish that depend on specific coastal wetlands or geological formations on the seafloor, will more than likely die out. If we start messing up ecosystems and the service they provide, it has deadly effects that will affect the whole world. We never needed fossil fuels. We always had the capability and technology to use better alternative resources of fuel. I mean, Henry Ford's first automobiles ran off of hemp fuel, and the body was made of hemp steel, which is 1,000 times stronger than the steel we use today. And, you know, Canada just made an airplane that is fueled out of hemp. So we all know the positive effects. So there is hope out there, guys. And we can please take action and use this to help educate everyone and share this knowledge. And together we can prevent a worse future for all. You guys, water is life. And thank you all for your time today. And thank you, Robert and Wendy, so much for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Robert's getting set up, and we will be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Robert is on the radio. I think he's there. Are you there, Robert? Robert is in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now, and he is at the Gathering of Nations, the largest powwow in the United States. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, Rob? How's it going, Wendy? Can you hear me?
Yes.
We're having some difficult...
Yeah, that's okay. Why don't you stand by and we will bring Senator Mary Kunish on. We have Senator Mary Kunish with us today. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Oh, hi, Mary's- everyone. How are you?
We're doing great. Robert is in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now at the Gathering of Nations powwow. And he's having technical difficulties.
Oh, no. I love Albuquerque.
I've never been there.
And look
before.
At that weather. It looks wonderful.
It is wonderful. Actually, I have it on my phone because we've been looking at the weather. Right now in Albuquerque, it's 79 degrees and mostly sunny.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And it feels 90 because I left... 38 degree weather.
Are you at the museum or where are you literally located in Albuquerque? Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether Robert can hear us or not. But Robert, if you can hear us, why don't you mute? Because we could hear a lot of wind. And Mary and I will have a conversation here. So how are you, Mary? How are things going?
I'm good.
Good.
It was a super busy week at the Minnesota State Capitol. We are 3 weeks away from the end of our session. And So everybody's sort of in anxious panic mode, ready to get all the legislation done that we possibly can. And that means that... Everybody's just sort of frantic, long days, late nights, trying to work our bills. So it's that time of year.
Yeah. When it happens and it is this time of year and you guys are trying to get everything in at the end, does that cause a lot of omnibus bills to appear before or how do the omnibus bills come about? I know that there are bills that have lots and lots of stuff stuck in them. And that some of the stuff in the bills could be good stuff, and some of the stuff in the stuff, you know, in the bill could be bad stuff. But does it matter what time of year those omnibus bills come about?
Well, here in Minnesota, we start our session, our legislative sessions, the even years, we start them in February and they go till the third week of May. Mm-hmm. And in the odd year, we start in January because it's a budget year. And mm-hmm. we go again to the third week of May. And so the omnibus bills are basically just, you know, a big file of bills that they throw into one big bill and pass it as a package. Mm-hmm. And when I was in the House, we kept it to, you know, like just the education bills and just transportation bills in an omnibus, you know, bill. So it was a single issue omnibus bill, but in the Senate, they pile a bunch of them together into one. So we might have transportation with education with agriculture. And, you know, it just has a different article or a different section in a bill. And then they pass it, they, you know, want to pass it all by one. Interesting enough, Minnesota does have a law, a rule or a law that it's a single subject per bill. But mm-hmm. apparently that doesn't, nobody follows that anymore. And so we end up getting sometimes super big bills with multiple subjects. This year, the Republicans, their bills are really trim and trim and slim, shall we say. They mm-hmm. won't, their thing is it's not a budget year, so they're not going to spend any money. But they'll mm-hmm. spend money when they have stuff that they want to get through. And so these omnibus bills are actually pretty small.
Yeah. You know, I know that there was one omnibus bill that I was personally worried about, and it was the environmental bill, the environment bill SF 4062, because what it did was it included a provision in it requiring an annual wolf hunt and trapping season if the wolves were ever taken off the Endangered Species Act. It would require Minnesota to have a mandatory wolf hunt. So I know that there might have been really good stuff in that bill that might have been good that it passed, but for me personally, I'm glad it didn't pass because I care so much about the wolves, and that provision mm-hmm. was in that bill. So that's why I kind of feel like, you know, the omnibus bills, like if there's a lot of good stuff in it and there's a lot of bad stuff in it, like really, how do you look at it and like say whether it's a good bill or not, you know? So I think it's,
you're right. It's really hard as a legislature because a lot of times they'll sprinkle in some of the Democrats' bills, you know, to sweeten the vote.
Right.
And you're in a conundrum. Like my bill is in there. I want that bill to pass. And so if I vote for it, you know, I feel like I haven't really done my job the way I should have. Mm-hmm. And other times I have to vote against my own, you know, if my bill's in there and I just can't stand the entire omnibus bill, then I just have to vote against it.
I'm sure it's really hard decisions for you guys to really pick through and find out like what's the most important thing. So I really give you guys a lot of credit for really, you know, for doing that. It must, I can't even imagine how difficult it must be, you know.
It's really hard. Today we took a vote, another kind of hard vote. So of course, because of the pandemic, so many people applied for unemployment insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And before the pandemic, we had a pretty healthy balance in there. There was a lot of money in there. This is the money that employers, put up in there for those that are getting laid off. And we ended up depleting the entire account and had to borrow from the federal government. And so this bill that we had today not only repaid that, because Minnesota has a surplus. And then we also wanted to reward or, give a bonus to those frontline workers that stayed on the job, the grocery store folks, the bus drivers that say, public transportation, our healthcare workers, all those hourly folks. We wanted to give them, a small token of our appreciation. And, agreements had been made months and months ago. And the Republicans just held on to it and held on to it. And then, of course, all of a sudden yesterday, they're like, we're going to bring it up on the floor. And so we had to quickly go through the bill to see really what was in it and if there were any changes. There were some things that we were not comfortable with. But again, if we vote against it, they'll say you're voting against unemployment and you're hurting all the small business folks. And, if you don't vote for it, then you're not voting for those hourly, frontline workers. And so, yeah, it becomes a real conundrum.
Yeah, I could imagine. I can't even imagine. It's just unbelievable. Okay, Lucy, this is not the sacred animal portion of the show today.
wants to howl.
Oh my goodness gracious. Wow. So, how are you doing? And do you know if there's many COVID cases in the Capitol with people coming about, people showing up again and being at the Capitol?
Well, I haven't heard of too many. On our side of the aisle, one of our senators did test positive maybe 10 days ago, and he stayed away. And there were a couple other of our employees that had to take some time. But interesting enough, my little granddaughter, 6-month-old granddaughter, Rita, she tested positive yesterday.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we're a little nervous, but she had a fever for a day or two. So her mom and dad took her into the doctor, and that's when she tested positive. But then they sent a little video this morning, and here's Rita laying on the floor, rolling around, playing, making fun noises. So she must not have, unless it's going to hit her hard again, this might be a mild version of it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, her mom had the vaccine when she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, how much is protecting those newborns.
Wow, that's unbelievable. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen of the Green News Report and the Bradcast. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Are you looking to sell your current vehicle? If so, take it to the dealership that will treat you right. Rudy Luther Toyota. You might be saying, but I didn't buy my vehicle from Rudy Luther. No worries. Rudy Luther Toyota is looking to buy vehicles. Your vehicle might be worth more than you think. Let their staff look at your vehicle and give you a price. The process couldn't be easier. No appointment needed. Just take your vehicle to Rudy Luther Toyota and tell them you're looking to sell. And if you're looking for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, browse Rudy Luther's inventory. Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Fire threatens everything in its path. When it threatens our nation and our communities, we respond. We bring the fight to the front line. The Army National Guard stands ready to face the dangers of Mother Nature and protect our homes and our neighbors. We will always be there when your community needs us the most. Discover more about all the ways you can serve part-time in your community by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
The independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect destination for your next book. The friendly staff at Next Chapter Booksellers are great at making recommendations no matter your age or taste. Plus, they have frequent events including book readings and meet and greets with authors. And they sell more than just books. They have a wide variety of puzzles and games too. So stop in and browse the store off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low of 52. Showers and thunderstorms on Saturday with a high of 57. The Great Wall has been serving up authentic Peking and Sichuan favorites for over 40 years. The Great Wall is located on France Avenue along the Minneapolis-Edina City line. Check out their menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. We are here with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. Robert is at the Gathering of Nations in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he's in the backstage right now, kind of running all the technical stuff, which I am very much appreciating. So thank you, Robert, if you could hear me. Before we went to break, we were talking to Senator Mary Kunish that her six-month-old baby granddaughter, is it Rita that you said, tested positive for COVID, but she's doing okay. And I was just able to look this up, and it says vaccination resulted in significantly greater antibody persistence in infants than infection. So at 6 months, 57%, 16 of the 28 of the infants born to vaccinated mothers had detectable antibodies. So that's really fantastic. And there's also another study that through breast milk, babies can get antibodies as well. So it's really important for pregnant women to get vaccinated so that their babies can really benefit from those important antibodies against COVID-19. And that's probably why she's still like smiling and, you know, kind of acting happy still, right?
Yeah. That, and she's a pretty happy little girl to begin with.
Yeah, so cute. Well, we wish her the best, and we hope that she, you know, just recovers really, really fast.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really important. I don't know how strongly it was stressed, especially when we were in, you know, deep COVID time, mm-hmm. for pregnant women to get that vaccination, and not just for themselves, but also for that child. I mean, if at 6 months they've got antibodies, then that's pretty incredible. That's mm-hmm. really good.
It is really good. I know my niece, she was pregnant, and she gave birth. Let me think here. Lily is 5 months. So she's just like a month earlier. And I know that her OBGYN really, you know, encouraged my niece to get vaccinated because they were finding that women who were pregnant and they got COVID, if they weren't vaccinated, they really didn't fare well. They really, really got sick, and a lot of them got hospitalized. So it was really good, and still is really important for pregnant women right now to get vaccinated for themselves and their babies. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
We're not done with this.
The numbers are climbing here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think Minneapolis sent out a strong, strong suggestion that people continue to wear masks when they are out. So
I know. Well, the CDC still recommends the mask mandates for travel and, on the airplane. And I was talking to Robert yesterday, and I said to him, when you were at the airport, like, what do you think of, you know, just like looking around at the people wearing masks versus not wearing masks, what was it? So he goes, 30-70. So I said, oh, so 70% of the people are wearing masks? And he said, no, the other way around.
Oh, no.
On the plane, and he said that one flight attendant.
Yeah, well, I wore my mask.
Thanks, Robert.
I definitely wore my mask and still wearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to wear my mask when I fly, and I'm, you know, or if I'm on mass transit or a train or in a busy grocery store, I'm going to wear my mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So what else is happening, Mary?
Well, let's see. Today I was able to join Representative Ruth Ann Buffalo and Nicole Martin Rogers and a couple of other folks at the Humphrey Institute for a virtual discussion around missing and murdered Indigenous women. Mm-hmm. And that was really nice. I'd been at the Capitol till after midnight last night, so I had to get home and get a good nap in and get back out there so that I could continue to do that work. Tuesday night, Minnesota had their book award, the Minnesota Book Award, and my friend Chris Stark, she's an author. She just wrote a new book called Carnival Lights. It was up for the award, and it was just put out. You know, it's only a few months old. All last summer she was working on it really hard, and she sent me early copies and asked me to take a look and edit or make suggestions. So last summer I kind of went through that with her, and it's a heartbreaking book. It deals with the state fair, two girls that leave from the Dakotas and come over to the Twin Cities. And we always know what that's like when two young girls are out on their own in a big city. And so they had some real adventures, shall we say. But the fact that, you know, it was that new and it came up for an award is really remarkable. She didn't win, but the winner was Diane Wilson's book, The Seed Keeper, which is a really good book also. It's sort of a generational book, and it goes back to when the grandma or the great grandma hid the seeds, the heritage seeds. She was a seed keeper herself. And of course, here in the Twin Cities or in Minnesota and the Dakotas, we experienced wars with the settlers, the white folks, and she hid the seeds. And it's the generations of other folk, of other children and grandchildren. And so it's a really good book. You know, it's the family is struggling to keep their traditions and stay healthy themselves. So if you can, get a hold of that book. It's really a good one. And Chris Stark's Carnival Lights, two really good new books. So I was supposed to go to that with Chris, but we were late into the night that night, so I missed that. Too many good things happen when we're during the legislative session, which kind of makes me crazy. Yeah. And then I was able
to. Hey, Mary.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Can you hear me okay? Hey, I ran into Reed out here, who's on the same board you are, and he told me you to mention on the radio about there's still applications for a board that you're on.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm glad he said that. So I am on the board of the Tiwahe, Foundation here in the Twin Cities. And Tiwahe means family. So the founders of this nonprofit really wanted to be able to support urban Indians, Minneapolis and St. Paul, and local urban Indians. And it has grown from, you know, that idea to really a well-functioning now a nonprofit. And every 6 months that we have a grant process. And it's to invest in human capital. We want, these are direct grants. Unfortunately, these are just right now for urban folks, urban Indians in the Minneapolis Twin Cities area. We hope to expand it to greater Minnesota and maybe the Dakotas. But folks are able to apply for the kind of grants that are going to make the difference to them. And we don't make them jump through a bajillion hoops or, you know, they just have to come back and tell us what they did with the money. So sometimes people use it for education. Maybe they need a laptop for school. We had a grandma that just wanted to buy, you know, like an old res car and be able to take her kids back to ceremony in the Dakotas. It might be for supplies for beading. Or, I don't know, Robert, did you ever receive one for your radio show?
I don't think we ever applied.
We did apply, and it was during the middle of COVID, and they really helped us out. I think we, both Okuma and I, received a small, but during COVID, everything really counted. We both got a small grant from you.
Sure. Sure. So if folks are interested, you know, if you're an urban Indian to Minneapolis and St. Paul, look up the Tiwahe Foundation, Tiwahe. And I'm really proud to be on that board because it is direct investment in the individual. Sometimes individuals receive those grants and for whatever reason, their life changes, it gets busy. Things get complicated and maybe they don't do what, you know, they don't complete whatever it was that they said they were going to do. And we understand that, you know, we don't go back and say, hey, we know that you didn't complete your education, so give us that money back. We want to know that we, you know, we validated you at that moment. We want you to go back, so apply again. You can apply more than once. And then, you know, hopefully once you have completed or you find yourself in a good position, you're able to, you know, contribute to the Tiwahe Foundation or maybe mentor one of the other folks that are granted, you know, a grantee. You know, we just want to give back and continue to invest in each other. And there's no age limit. There's, you know, it's kind of like the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program.
As far as how much you can apply for, but whatever the reason is.
Wendy, did you remember we saw Ta Paul, who was a recipient years earlier, and he still had the laptop and he's still rapping, and he's a big time artist, and he was helped out a lot.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's the kind of, and it's interesting because the people that are now there working are a number of them have been recipients of that grant, and you just don't forget that. It's just, it's one of the most heartwarming things that I participate in. And I'm not just saying that, it really is. I can't say enough about the foundation. We're small, but we're mighty.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like really wonderful karma.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's really what it is. When we invest, other people want to do the same. And, you know, Lord knows we haven't had that kind of investment in a long time. So we do what we can.
Thank you so much, Minnesota Senator Mary Kunish. We always appreciate you here on Fridays. Have a great weekend.
You too. Happy to be here. Enjoy the Albuquerque, Robert. Get to the museum. It's a great museum.
We'll be back after
Gina
the
Gigi,
show.
Thank you.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Things may be getting better, but COVID is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 5 and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 12 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 or received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Getting boosted increases your protection against severe disease from COVID-19. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986.
Biju, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hello.
All right. Robert is at the Gathering of Nations powwow in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So he is here with me now. Go ahead, Robert.
Just joining in on your show, Wendy. I'm just joining in on your show. Appreciate all you do, Wendy. We had a little difficulties. I think everyone wanted to use the internet at the same time, but now you're crystal clear, and of course, the show is almost over.
Well, you're crystal clear now too. So, yeah, figures right at the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, why don't you? You got a segment for us, our sacred animal segment, and
I do.
I can listen in and enjoy this.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, walks on white clouds. So as always, Curtis, thank you so much for that meaningful name. It really means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And I always appreciate and feel good about doing that. But I have two funny stories today that I want to share with everyone. I'm often find myself trying to help the people of Ukraine and, you know, the people of Ukraine and the animals that they love there are really suffering hard times right now. But I have a really good story, and this is from 10WBNS, and it's about a Ukrainian cat who was reunited with its family that made its way to Arkansas. So a Ukrainian cat named Persik, and here's a picture of Persik, was reunited with his family in Arkansas with the help of the Humane Society International, which transported the cat from Warsaw. So the Humane Society International is like a cousin with the Humane Society of the United States, and they really do a lot of wonderful, wonderful work. And there's the volunteer on the plane with the cat. And this was actually a story that was updated on April 25th at 10:30 p.m. So since the war broke out in Ukraine, the Humane Society International has been working in Poland, Romania, Germany, and Italy to help people with their animals. The Humane Society heard about a Ukrainian woman named Larissa, who was in Arkansas when the war started, trying to get her cat out of Odessa, Ukraine. Quote, with the outbreak of hostilities on February 24th in Ukraine, it was hard to believe how this could happen. My plans collapsed with the advent of the war to return home to Ukraine and visit my relatives and take the cat with me, Larissa said. I had to make a lot of efforts in order to find a person in a difficult circumstances during the hostilities in Ukraine who agreed to take the cat out of Ukraine. And now, by the grace of God, the cat is in my home with love and care. The cat named Persik, which means peach in Ukrainian, stayed in Odessa with Larissa's cousin Alexander while she was in the United States. He managed to safely evacuate Persik from Ukraine with a friend who then fled to Warsaw. Kelly Donathan, director of the Animal Disaster Response for Humane Society International, was about to head out of Poland to fly to the United States when she connected with Larissa through Zoom. Kelly then got airplane approval to have Persik safely in his carrier with her for the flight to the States. The cat was fully vaccinated, had its pet passport, and was microchipped. So this beautiful little kitty was really, it's wonderful that it made its way. So I know there's lots of people out there who want to help people and animals of Ukraine. So if you want to, there's lots of wonderful organizations out there, helping pets in this horrible, difficult time. Humane Society of the United States and Humane Society International are, really good organizations that would pay and help to get these animals out. So if you want to do that, why don't you just go ahead and do that? But I have a second story here. And then if you want to bring down that picture so I could see the clock, that would be great. But we have a story here, which is really funny. A zoo, this is from the Animal Rescue site, and it's let's see, the Animal Rescue Site News, and it's called Greater Good. So this is where I got this story from. And this is a really funny story. A zoo is forced to remove five parrots from public view for swearing at visitors. Yep. And this is a story by Mallory Thompson. The parrots.
I only swear around small kids.
I know, right, Robert?
Right. Sorry. Yeah.
Bad habit. I know. So these parrots, they pick up a lot of language, and one of the, many reasons they're such incredible birds, but sometimes their ability to repeat words and phrases ends up backfiring. A parrot sanctuary in England recently dealt with that when five of its African gray parrots developed some rather colorful language. The birds, which were living at the Lincolnshire Wildlife Center, kept encouraging each other to swear openly in front of visitors, and it got so bad that the zoo was forced to remove them from the public's eye. According to AP News, the zoo officials, and I think we have a picture of the birds if you want to bring that up, if that's possible. According to AP News, the zoo's chief executive, Steve Nichols, said, we're quite used to parrots swearing, but we've never had all five of them, doing at the same time. Nichols revealed to BBC News that the guests' reactions to the swearing parrots actually encourages their behavior. He said, the birds will swear, and then they see the people, say, oh my goodness, or start laughing and everything. And the parrots love to see these reactions from the people. So then they start doing it more. The birds in question, Billy, Eric, Tyson, Jade, and Elsie, were split into two different colonies away from public ear. And with the hopes of this is that they're going to pick up better language from the other birds that they'll be with. But the thing is that they're really nervous about that because they took the birds out and they put them in, five different sections away from birds that curse and swear, and put them in with birds that have very nice language. But they are worried that this whole plan is going to backfire and that the swearing birds are going to teach the nice talking birds how to swear. And then they're going to have 250 birds that are all swearing. So we'll have to see if there's an update on this story and to see if the swearing birds will learn better language. So I thought that was a really funny story.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that funny? And it's really funny, I find, that these birds are so smart that, we think that these animals, are just learning the language from us, but they're not. They're teaching each other and they're talking to each other and learning from each other, and they could, they could teach each other these different words. So the birds are learning from other birds, not just from people. So I think it's really pretty funny. Honestly, if I was walking past a cage and a bird was swearing at me, I would just be cracking up. I really would. I think it's so funny. You want to close down the
show? I just want to say Pina Gigi to you, Wendy. Now that the band stopped, now I can be on fine, and now it's the end of the show. Thank you so much, and thank our guests, and thank Gina, and thank Olgama for helping us out today, too, in the background. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Free Leonard Peltier.